Scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Be seated. So my degree included a focus on childhood and adolescent psychology. So I spent a lot of time in elementary classrooms, kindergarten classrooms, and preschool classrooms. And so have you ever used glitter with a child? Have you ever seen them use glitter? Look, kids love glitter. Love glitter. They love glitter tape. They love glitter glue. They love anything that has to do with glitter. My daughter has glitter all over most of her t-shirts. They love glitter. But as an adult in the classroom, I hated glitter. Hated it. Glitter day was, it was pretty rough. It was a slow process because each child had to pick out which color of glitter they wanted to use. Then you had to carefully apply the glue to the page, then sprinkle the glitter on the page. Then you have to try to curl the page just right so not to spill the glitter, but you get it back in the bowl or the little tube it came out of. And then you're always going to spill the glitter at least once all over the floor. Glitter then comes off the artwork, and it gets in their desks and in the floor and in their pencil boxes and in their backpacks. Glitter is everywhere. And then at the end of the day, you're exhausted because it's been glitter day, and you go home and just want to put your feet up, and you change clothes, and suddenly there's glitter in your house. It's in your floor. It's in your recliner. It's all in your washing machine when you wash your clothes. Glitter is everywhere. And no matter how much cleaning you did, you can't get it. You can't clean it up, because if you mop glitter, the next room's going to have glitter in it too, because it's going to stick to the mop. But the next day, when the students come back to school, open house night, parent-teacher night, when the students get to bring their grandparents or their parents to see their glitter projects, and that you see the excitement and you see the joy in their face when they get to show off what they've done with glitter, it makes it all worth it. It makes the stress, it makes the hard work, it makes glitter day worth it. That day on the hillside when Jesus said, "Let the children come to me," the disciples, they were simply trying to protect Jesus. They knew that glitter was a messy business. They knew that it was time-consuming. They knew it would slow Jesus down. They knew that it would take him off of his schedule for the day. But Jesus knew something that the disciples maybe didn't know, and you and I, we forget. Unless we're willing to get a little glitter on us, we're missing the whole point. It's one thing to say that children are important. It's one thing to have a well-funded children's department and pat the children's department that volunteers on the back. But it's another thing to roll up our sleeves and get elbow deep in glitter. So not only do we need to welcome the glitter, Jesus tells us that we have to get involved in the glitter. We have to come to him as a child would come to him. Jesus says that we'll never experience the kingdom of heaven unless we come to him like a child. And so with that in mind, I wondered this week, what would it be like? What would it be like to come to Jesus as a child? And so I watched my two-year-old Arlie and just saw how she lived her life. And I discovered several things that a child does. But I want to mention five that I think that will talk to us today. Number one, children, they go slowly and they take their time, especially when you're in a hurry. When you have some place to be, when you have a schedule to keep, when you have a meeting with your district superintendent, that's the day that they need to pick every flower and point out every butterfly and play with every single toy and eat every single individual grain of oatmeal one at a time instead of spoonfuls. That's the day that they go slowly. But it made me wonder, why do they go slowly? It's because they experience every single flower. And they experience every single butterfly. And it made me question, when's the last time that we just sat a spell and enjoyed creation? When's the last time that we took a Sunday afternoon just to go loafing and visit an old friend or someone who was sick? When's the last time that we just went for a drive and enjoyed the sunshine on our face? When's the last time that we sat in the quiet to just spend time in prayer with God? Children, they take their time and they do things slowly. The second thing they do, they take on the world with awe and amazement because they're constantly learning something new. A couple months ago, we were in Cracker Barrel, and kids like to get away from you. And so Lila and I were over looking at some stuff, and Arlie got away from us, and we hear her on the other side of where we're standing going, "Roar! Roar!" And what is she doing? So I turned the corner and she has a dinosaur. And she, "Roar!" And I was going, "I didn't even know you knew what a dinosaur was, much less that a dinosaur roars. How did you learn this?" You know? Children, they know so much. They learn something new every day. They grow so quickly and pay attention. And so my question for myself and for you is, when is the last time that you spent time with God just simply learning something new? When's the last time you spent reading His Word, or you spent reading a book? Or how about this? When's the last time you thought about, what are the talents and the gifts that God's blessed me with? How can I use those? How can I discover a new hobby or rediscover an old hobby? To just enjoy and learn something new about God and how He made me. Children, they like to learn something new every day. They take the world on in amazement and awe. The third thing they do, they laugh a lot. My least favorite sound in the entire world is a baby or a toddler crying. Drives me crazy. If I walk into a restaurant and I hear a child crying, I will turn around and go eat at another restaurant. Like, I will not eat at that restaurant if I hear a child crying or screaming. Like, it just drives me, just sends chills up my spine to hear a baby cry. Sorry if you like the baby crying thing, because I do not. But my favorite sound in the world is to hear a toddler giggling. The giggles of a toddler, the giggles of a child, it's just adorable. When you blow a raspberry on their neck and they just can't take it and they just giggle and just cackle laughing. When you have tickle fights in the kitchen, when their favorite movie, Frozen, is played for the 233rd time, but they still laugh at the same parts, they still enjoy the movie. Man, there's just something about it. Just something about the laughter that's just contagious. See, they haven't been weighed down by the stresses of the world. They haven't seen all the negativity. They see the world from a positive side. You and I dread hearing "Let It Go" again, but they can't wait. They can't wait to sing it again. When's the last time that you laughed? When's the last time you purposely listened to the comedy channel or read the comics? Or when's the last time you simply just went out with a friend and told old stories and memories and shared jokes and a cup of coffee? When's the last time that you've allowed the joy of the Lord to be your strength? Children, they laugh a lot. Fourth thing they do, they cling to their parents' side. When children are scared, when they're unsure about something, when they are worried, when they meet a stranger, when they're fearful, they can't get close enough. They tuck into you. They cling onto your leg, and they can't get close enough. They know that their parent will protect them. They know that their parent will handle the situation. They look for their parent's reaction to see if they should be scared or not. For us, when trouble comes our way, when anxiety and stress and fear comes to us, do we worry? Do we just stress out and become overwhelmed with anxiety and fear? Or do we cling to our Father's side? Do we know and trust that God, our Father, will take care of us? Do we go away and hide, or do we get as close as we can to God when trouble finds its way to us? Children, they cling to their parents' side. And the fifth thing they do, they wear their parents' glasses, hats, shoes, jewelry, dresses, because they want to imitate their parents. Charles Colton once said, "Imitation is the highest form of flattery." When children act and dress up like their parents, pretend to be their mommy and their daddy, it's because they admire their parents so much and they want to be like them. And they're expressing just how much love they have for their parents because they want to be like their parents. When we imitate God, when we do the things that God would do, when we ask that cliche question of our lives, what would Jesus do? We're showing God just how much we love him. We are worshiping God when we imitate God. And so what a child would do is they imitate their parents so that they can show their love for their parents. And so if we want to enter the kingdom of God, if we want to see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we have to come to the Father as a child. We have to come with childlike faith. And the second thing we have to do is we have to be willing to get glitter on us. Let me say this. The day our churches are functioning at their full potential, the day that we begin to see the kingdom of heaven come, is the day that we come into church and we see literal glitter on our pews, when we see figurative glitter in our seats, when our churches are busting at the seams with children and their families, when we're letting every child within our area of influence know that they're created in the image of a God who loves them. That is when we will begin to see the kingdom of God here on earth. So my question to you this morning is, are you ready to get messy? Are you ready to get a little glitter on you? Are you ready to ruin that perfectly good shirt with some glue and some glitter? Because that's when we will see the kingdom of God here on earth. And if you're ready, good. Because we actually have some opportunities for you to get messy right now. Outside these doors in the breezeway, there are sign-up sheets for 8 different ways you can serve in the children's ministry. Vacation Bible school, prayer time, children's church, Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible study, simply coming and shopping at our consignment sale in March, being a consigner and selling off your children or your grandchildren's extra clothes they can't wear anymore. All of these are ways that you can get messy and get glitter on you. And so I would challenge you to sign up for one way this week, one way now that you can serve and help us bring the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, here to Alabaster. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.